Good evening, everyone. Tonight's shir is for Refuah Shleima. We ask for Mashaleya Bas Chava Minachaya. We wish her Refuah Shleima, not just the Refuah Shleima, but a Bimhera. It should be very quick. That is something that we often overlook. Now, I entitled the parsha this week, the Mishkan before or after the Egel. That is a question that's been debated for since the Torah was written, in fact, because it's always, we are told that we have Truma Tetzaveh, and then Kisisa, and then we have Vayakal Pekudei. And so it's very interesting that the Maisa Egel is in between when Moshe gets the commandment, which we'll talk about exactly, the commandment first, and then is the Maisa Egel. And that leaves one to suspect that the Maisa Trumo, the Tzivui to build the Mishkan came first. But of course, the Talmud tells us that was only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chas al HaKavod Yisrael, that he was concerned for the dignity of Klal Yisrael by making it seem that the Egel, the Mishkan, was only for penance for building the Egel. But there are a lot of problems with it either way, and of course, among all the Rishonim, there are various points in that matter. But to get up to that point, what I wanted to first mention at the beginning is God tells Moshe he needs 15 things. And of course, part of the thing is that there are three groups on the 15 things when it says Zahav v'chesef v'nechoshes v'schelis v'argamon v'solah shoni v'sheish mazar. There are all of these things that are listed are coming into three groups. And the reason we say that is the three groups are for the three different things that are in the world are created for. We have the inanimate objects, which is Zahav v'chesef v'nechoshes. We also have the things that grow, that we have to get things for the plant life that we needed for building of the Mishkan as well. And then there's the animals itself, the Oros Choshim, the Atzei Shittim, or the things that grow. The Oros Choshim are the things that are animal life. So all three things that we sustain, that sustain our life on this earth, God wanted everyone to know, certainly, that in the building of the Mishkan, it contains all walks of everything that was everything in creation that we live on, whether it's plant life, whether it's taking ore out of the ground, or whether it's on the animals that feed us and we use for transportation, certainly until recently, and even some societies still now, obviously, we do animals to provide us for many services. But these are things that God is in total control of for the entire world. But seemingly enough, if we get back to the very interesting thing, is God tells Moshe, and he doesn't command him to do it. In Vayakal Pekudei, God tells Moshe to command the Bnei Yisrael to build the Mishkan. But at the beginning of Truma, of course, the Mefarshim hop on the fact when it says, V'yichu li Truma, doesn't use the Lashon V'yitnu li Truma. In other words, he tells Moshe not to tell the Bnei Israel to force them to give, but it's voluntary that they can give. In other words, it says v'yikuli, he's appointing people to collect, so that if people step forward and offer things for the building of the Mishkan, these are the people that shall take it from the people who are making the donations. Me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libo, it has to be voluntary. And therefore, we might speculate at this point in time that if it was voluntary, that it wasn't in the terms of doing penance, it couldn't be that, because otherwise, on some level, if it were that kind of thing, it would be a requirement. In other words, when you commit a sin, you must bring, if it's b'shogeg, you must bring a karban chatos. You have to bring a karban chatos. If it's b'mezid, you don't bring a karban because, you know, you're snubbing your nose in the face of God. But once you admit it, that you're sorry you did it, then you bring a karban asham, then you go through and you bring a karban chatos, and various things of that nature. There are always things that you must do to expunge your guilt. And if it were to expunge the guilt of the Egel, it would be a requirement and not a point of order in that respect. On top of all of that, if we take a look when it says, V'yichu li Truma me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libo, it's more than that. If we take a look in Truma Tetzaveh, Truma doesn't say any place that God commands Bnei Moshe to do all these things. He doesn't give him any, he just gives him instructions. On top of everything else, if you look at it, we just finished reading the Aseret HaDibros, and God said to Moshe, and they told Klal Yisrael that this is what God said he wants, and they answered Na'aseh V'Nishma. And the purpose of, at this point in time, the language usage at this point in time is to see, you said Na'aseh V'Nishma, and this is a test. So you take a look. When it says, does God tell Moshe that I want you to build a Mishkan? Not for a while, not until we get to Sheni. It says, V'yikhu li truma me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libo tikhu es truma si. Take my truma, take my gifts. V'zos ha'trumash, and this is the list of 15 things that I want you to collect. The only thing that we are told over here at this point in time, as the Abarbanel points out, is God told Moshe to take only these 15 things. I'm not interested for donations if you want to just do your spring cleaning and getting rid of things that you want to get rid of. These are the 15 items that I want you to collect, not what you want to give. I'm only taking what I need for this building. That's it. I'm not looking for things that, you know, when you have cars for kids and you donate a car, they scrap the car and they sell it for scrap metal, and they take the worth of the car and they turn it for metal. It's not as if anybody's using the car. They junk the car. And God doesn't want you to give him his junk. And therefore, that's what he's saying. Just give me on this list. But he doesn't tell Moshe why. Moshe might ask, when he says to Klal Yisrael, I want to collect these 15 things, the people might decide, well, fine, but in other words, you gave me a shopping list, what are you planning to do? If your mother sent you out shopping because she needs ingredients for a cake, she would say, I want to make a chocolate cake, and this is what you have to buy for me. God doesn't say that to Moshe. God says, I want you to bring me these 15 things. Suddenly, at the end of everything is, V'osuli migdash v'shochanti b'socham. And then he finally tells them. And this is to see, you said Na'aseh V'Nishma, everybody. Did you really mean it? Na'aseh, just I gave you a shopping list. I want you to go shopping. You want to know why? I'm glad you didn't ask. Now I'm going to tell you why. And the next point of order is, if this had been the penance for the Egel, then it wouldn't be a V'yikhu li truma. It would be right away, Moshe would have to tell you, Klal Yisrael, this is what everybody is required to do. It would be a tzivui. And it doesn't say until Moshe gets to Vayakel, and then he says, Eile hadvorim asher tzivo Hashem la'sososam. These are the things that God commanded you, and that comes after the Maisa Egel, which is a very cogent point. And so in that respect, one might say that it's not a question of before or after. The point is, the Mishkan was always going to be built. The question is, what purpose would the Mishkan serve? God gave Moshe the requirement of telling him that he wants him to build a Mishkan, but he doesn't tell Klal Yisrael yet until after the Egel happens. Then Moshe has to say, Asher tzivo Hashem la'sososam, where heretofore it was, me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libo, and it's not a requirement. But after the Maisa Egel happened, now this is a responsibility that falls to every individual over here. They're going to have to show up and do exactly as they're told to do. And right away, he doesn't tell them anywhere in this parsha that he's appointing Bezalel or he's appointing Aliyav in these two parshas until the Egel, the situation of the Egel, and then when he tells Vayakel Moshe, and it says he tells them to appoint that he's appointing Bezalel and he's appointing Aliyav. This is after the Maisa Egel, which is a very interesting point of order that he has all these things in mind. So it's not one or the other, it's a combination of both, because one might ask about the Aron, that we made for the Lukos. Some people want to ask, of course they would have to build an Aron to put in the Lukos. You wouldn't have a Sefer Torah standing bare. But the reality is the Lukos were made of stone, and stone is not something you would necessarily decide you had to protect, especially if the Anani HaKavod were following them in the Midbar and they were shortly thereafter going into. That's not a problem in itself, but nevertheless, this is what it was all intended to be. But the other problem that we have over here is that a lot of the commentaries we'll get into, and a lot of is made of it, especially other religions too, where they get into the idea of shutfis, in other words, that there's more than one God, is why in the world would God tell everybody to build? Why would one of the requirements be the shnei, the kruvim, Yasuas HaKruvim? Why would there be two? It should be only one, perhaps, and that gives license to some people who want to say this is a symbolism of more than one God. But the reality is that this is a lesson as well. It's to teach us all one thing. There is only one God. Everything else in the world has more than one. If for humans, there's male and there's female. For the Kruvim, there's male and there's female. They're children. For everything in the world comes in pairs. The only thing is Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. And one thing that occurred to me, which to stand out for that as well, is very interesting thought process that we have by Kiddush Levana. We know that when we go out now, today is Rosh Chodesh, and this coming Shabbos night, depending on your minig, if it's the 4th or the 7th, we hopefully, if the weather permitting, we have Kiddush Levana. And one of the requirements for Kiddush Levana that we all adhere to, basically, is that when we go out to be Kiddush Levana until the middle of the month, we have to see the moon. Has to be a clear night to see the moon. And one might ask, if this Kiddush Levana, why do I necessarily have to see the moon? I could want to make a bracha and thank God that he gave us the moon to give us light at night and thank him for it. What's the purpose of seeing the moon? And even so, there is one das, there is one authority that says, of course we don't paskin like that, but in an emergency, if you could see the outline of not a heavy cloud cover, but a light cloud cover, and through the cloud you could actually see the outline of the moon, that one would be permitted to do it. But that's not what we would do. But nevertheless, it's very interesting thought process to say, why do we have to see the moon to be for the Kiddush Levana? Because everything in this world, other than God, when we make a bracha, I can't make a motzi on bread if I don't see the bread. I can't make a baruch re'eitz on an apple if I'm not holding it in my hand. I can't say, I'm going to make a bracha now, then I'm going to go to the refrigerator or the fruit basket within 10 seconds afterwards and get the apple. I have to have it in front of my eye. I have to see things. There is only one thing that when you make a bracha, when you get up in the morning and you daven, when you daven mincha in Ma'ariv, you're davening to God. Can you see him? Of course not. Nobody can see him. Nobody will ever see him. But we daven only to Hashem. Even the moon, we know it's there. The only time we could make the bracha for Kiddush Levana is when we see the moon. And God wants us to know that you could have everything in pairs. You could have everything that exists in the world. But the Kruvim are, and it's symbolic of three different things. What is the point of the Kruvim? And the point of the Kruvim are that if we take a look at them, it's Parsei Chanofayim Lamalo V'Sochachim Anfeihem Al Akapores Ufneihem Ish Elochiv. What is the interesting symbolism of that thing? The wings are pointing, their hands are pointing heavenward as if in prayer. We have the world is al shlosha devarim ha'olam omeid, al ha'torah alu avoda v'al gemilus, al ha'torah v'alu avoda v'al gemilus chasodim. And these are the three things. Sochachin b'chanfeihem ha'kalaporis. After we pray, we have we is Torah. That is Sochim b'chanseihem ha'chaporis. That's the symbolism for the Torah itself. The Aron is covering the Aron. That's what they are. They're covering the Aron. And then it's Ufnehem ishelochir, while their hands are pointing in the air, to pointing upwards towards the heavens. It says Ufnehem ishelochir because that's what God wants most of all. You could have your head in the clouds, so to speak, praying to God, but your face, your concern on this earth must be for your fellow man. And that is what it is, and that is the symbolism of Allah Torah, the Allah Avodah, Gemilus Chasodim. If the Pneiham, even on the Kruvim, are not Ish Elochiv, it's pointless. God created this world for us to live amongst each other, to get along, and somebody who sits in a solitary confinement and learns all day without having contact with other people in the world, it doesn't matter how big of a big tzaddik and a big learner he is, he has to be concerned with his fellow man. And we all know when we say these English things, no man is an island unto himself, he has to be thankful for those who got him here, for that, for everything he exists in the world. He has to be aware that he owes the debt of gratitude, not just to God, but to people who've brought him into this world, to the people who live amongst him, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a friend, whether it's relatives. But Ufnehem Ish Elochiv is the Keruvim. So the Mishkan was initially meant to be with all these symbolism, but the commandment came from V'yichuli Truma to then it became a Tzivui, as it says in Vayakel, which it does not say at the beginning. It was always meant to be, but not under the same circumstances that it would be, because the, as we'll see when we get to Parshas Kisisa, the aftermath of the Egel is a very interesting thought process that we'll discuss next week. Thank you and have a very good evening.